fuck yeah.
Oh yeah.
Let's fucking go.
I'm doing so fucking good. You have no idea. I spent 2.5 days in debilitating tooth pain, and now debilitating tooth pain. I got a whole new lease on life, motherfuckers.
Damn, is it?
John's out here eating gravel, crunching down on popcorn, eating those jawbreakers, doing whatever.
That's right. That's right. Everlasting gobstoppers.
Did they pull it? Did they pull your tooth?
No.
They didn't pull it? That's good.
No, they didn't do hardly anything.
Really?
It's a pretty bad situation. He just did like a rudimentary cleaning, lanced it, which was rough.
Is it in your gums or inside the tooth? Is the question.
It's an abscess at the root of the tooth. So it's in my gums.
What is that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have shitty gums, like biologically, and that's what they were telling me. If I don't start flossing, because I had to go yesterday for like a regular checkup. They're like, if you don't start flossing, it's, you know, your gums are going to get fucked up. They're clean now, you know, but you know, if once you get old, it's going to be bad. So, I guess the message here is that dentists are scammers.
Yeah, they are scammers.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to sell. They're in the pocket of Big Floss.
That's right.
It's crazy that they're one of the only professions that tries to tell you that to not come to them and pay them. They're like, I'm going to rip you off if you come back, so you better just brush your fucking teeth. And most Americans still don't. I didn't. I was like, rip me off, motherfucker. Let's see you try. Oh, they're so good at it. It's unbelievable.
I don't get not brushing your teeth. I mean, it's like, maybe I had it ingrained into me when I was a kid by all the, you know, the fluoride news media, you know, the FNM.
Yeah. Average free thinkers when you say you don't enjoy fluoride.
But, you know, I brush my teeth every night, but I just like could never get into the habit of flossing.
Flossing is the one that trips everybody up. I was always a big mouthwash guy. Like for years, I would keep mouthwash in the bathroom and I would like brush my teeth occasionally, but I would mouthwash pretty often, which is actually a terrible system and just proves that like, no matter how bright of a person you tend to be, being in your early 20s makes you dumb as fuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's probably like 10 people in their early 20s who floss. Like no one else really does it.
Yeah.
Being in your early 20s makes you get into the mindset that doing whatever the fuck you want in like the early part of your 20s, you'll just be able to keep doing whatever the fuck you want health-wise, you know, partying, whatever, forever. And then you hit like the last third of your 20s and all of that catches up to you and hits you like a motherfucking brick.
Oh, for me, it was like year 30 on the dot. Everything caught up to me. My bad elbow from that bicycling accident, my bad fucking teeth, my fucking all the random utility bills I didn't pay like a million years ago that are now killing my credit score.
What the fuck does Quest Diagnostics want with my money? Okay.
It should be illegal for Quest Diagnostics to ask me for money. That's
true.
It
literally should be. It's I have health insurance. Why are they fucking asking me for money now? I went in there. I was like, I have insurance. They were like, what's your insurance? I gave them the fucking card. And then they sent me a bill. That should be fucking illegal. Those fucking liars. They're scum.
Oh, I was at the dentist and they're like, you're going to need this root canal. So here, this is the overall cost. It's like $2,500. And they're like, depending on your insurance, they can probably pay anywhere from $1,000 to $2,500 on that. But it's cost specific to the actual procedure. So they like itemize the bill. And then your insurance is like, okay, actual root canal surgery, we go 50% on that. But the, you know, the cap or the filling or whatever you need on top of that, we only go 30%. So even though your limit's $2,000, we're only going to give you $900 on this. And then the fucking dentist's office is like, can you pay an amount up front, like $500? And I was like, fuck, I guess I just got a good job for the first time in my life.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, here's my blood, sweat, and tears to fix my fucking mouth bones. Thank you so fucking much.
Jesus.
I mean, it's really a hellscape. Don't get old, kids. I mean, well, get old. Yeah, honestly, don't get old is such fucking terrible advice, really.
Yeah, it's basically saying, just kill yourself.
Oh, fuck yeah. I just figured out today's Wordle.
Oh, nice.
Are you guys playing that?
You're playing Wordle now?
I have not tried Wordle yet.
I played it a lot. I kind of fell off, but I was doing it like every day for a while. It's really fun.
It's not my thing, but I'm in a group text with my family and you know, I feel obligated when they, you know, they're posting their Wordles. I'm like, fine, I'll do this, even though it's literally fluoride for your brain. you know?
Well, I love that because I've specifically stayed away from Wordle because it's the kind of thing that like I would probably really enjoy. And it's just going to become another thing in my day where I'm like, oh, I got to do the Wordle. The same reason I never played Overwatch. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
And so I have this feeling that eventually my family is going to do a similar thing. And they're going to be like, John, do the Wordle with us. You'd be so good at it. And then I do the Wordle with them like three times. And then they're like, you got to stop sharing it because you always get it. And we're idiots.
So what I found is a good technique is if you do like one guess. And then just put, you know, some people play on their phone, maybe switch apps, do another thing, go off and do your, you know, routine, then come back like a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour later, and then do your next guess and look at it with a fresh pair of eyes, you know, because like you do too many guesses in rapid succession, you could get Wordled out, you know?
Yeah.
But once again,
maximizing
fluoride for your brain, okay?
A surgical strike. Not just like rapid fire machine gun guesses.
Yeah.
Maximizing my Wordle potential overall by waiting 7 full years between guesses on each consecutive Wordle so that I'm basically ship of Theseus-ing my psychology into becoming an entirely new person by the time I return.
That makes sense.
And then you still get the, it's still wrong. You still guess wrong.
Still wrong. You make your first guess. Like I would make my first guess as I am now, like with a t-shirt and long hair and like listening to math rock and shit. And then like 7 years from now, I would have like a short little mohawk and like a flamingo shirt, like button up. And I would be a totally different person. I'd be like listening to all like Michael McDonald and synthwave and shit.
Hell yeah.
I like Michael McDonald already. Never really got into synthwave, but you know, you get the picture.
I thought
you're gonna say
same.
You'd be like a weird punk rock guy, like a sober 40 plus punk rock guy who like greases up his mohawk and is like drinking Liquid Death all the time.
I mean, that's the thing about like my new job is I'm driving this incredibly heavy truck, so I don't really want to like smoke weed on the job, which is an instinct I haven't had in a long time. So it's a little weird driving around and doing my work because I'm in the middle of my day. I'm completely sober and I'm just like, wow, I'm basically straight edge now. And then I go home and I pound 2 chill out of tall boys. I'm like, this is Michigan straight edge for sure.
Staying sober until you go home.
Yeah.
I went to get beer before this episode and I got a 12 pack. Couldn't find any chiladas. I'm like really, I'm bummed out. I don't know. Maybe that's a seasonal thing around here.
Oh, maybe.
Cause that's 2 different liquor stores I've gone to that had chiladas when the weather was warm. And then since it's been wintertime, they haven't had them. So I don't know.
I mean, there's a really big, Mexican and otherwise Hispanic population up here where I live. So I think they just carry it all the time because they also carry like, you know, Jarritos and Jumex and all of the other like, you know, common stuff you would see in like a little supermercado, but they just keep it in like the fucking beer stores and shit, which is nice because a lot of that stuff slaps. I got some chorizo from a beer store that was like the best chorizo I had ever had.
from a beer store? That sounds great.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, little place called The One Stop. It's like a beer store. It's kind of half-assedly trying to be a bodega, and it rocks. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, I like a nice half-assed bodega.
Michigan likes doing that. Michigan likes having a shop that's like a beer store and liquor store, and then also it's like kind of a deli and kind of a bodega. Like they have snacks and stuff. Yeah.
And it's always called like The Party Store or
The
Rick's
Party Store.
One Stop or like,
the Michigan Party Store is like a phenomenon, especially in the Detroit area. Like I got a buddy who lives out in Detroit and like the first time I ever like came there and stayed there for a couple of days, he was like, oh dude, let's go to the party store. And I'm like, are you talking about like an iParty? Are we gonna make
Party
like
City
gift
by
gift
like
bags
birthday hats
for our friends with like a little plastic bucket of slime from the planet Mars and like little soldiers that have a little plastic parachute and you wrap up the parachute and the cord and you throw them in the air and they parachute down and like party favors and maybe like a mask of like Freddy Krueger in the Halloween section. And he's like, no, it's a beer store and a head shop and a bodega and everything you just said in one. And I'm like,
yeah,
why isn't this everywhere? They have jewelry,
they do lottery, they got hot pizza.
You can walk in, you can get
jewelry.
A fucking
oh my god
a hot they got a hot dog roller, and it's like floor to ceiling in some of these stores with like glass pipes. You could get some fucking like fake plastic bling. It's everything you fucking need. The best part is they're all like, they need to be in like a place where you can afford, you know, to put a fairly large but still bodega level store. So they're always in the middle of the hood, and the parking lots of these places are a fucking constant party.
Oh yeah, they're
like,
they're
just
a
people
nightmare.
Drinking out of paper bags, trying out their new no, it's awesome. I fucking love the party store, dude.
No, it's a nightmare to drive through because you have to wait for like nine drunken crowds of people to cross the street before you can make it to your parking space. But once you're on foot, yeah, it's a riot. It's a ton of fun. I fucking love them. I mean, the ones around here are a lot less exciting, but when I was pressure washing garbage trucks, we would stay on the eastern side of the state for a night. And the ones that they got like in, like you said, in the greater like Detroit area around Flint, around like Port Huron, they're pretty fucking tight. They're really badass.
I'm imagining it's like Adam Sandler from Uncut Gems is working there, but then also when he goes to the hot dog roller, he like puts on a 7-Eleven hat. He's like wearing different hats for different parts of the store.
Yeah, just walking out of the party store with like a fifth of rum, a pizza, some fake plastic jewelry, a nudie mag, and you're just like, this is how I win.
Yeah, and you could do all of your grocery shopping there too.
You can, except for fresh produce, which that's the one thing you will never find in a party store. Yeah.
Provided you eat mostly like Doritos and hot dogs and taquitos and stuff, like you can do all your grocery shopping for sure.
I guess I think this is the first episode I've been on because I was busy the last time you guys recorded since the Ukraine hit the fan. And what I will say is everything I said was correct, because my main point was that I didn't expect there to be total thermonuclear war, which there hasn't. So I'm going to take a little victory lap on that one, boys.
I love that goalpost move for you.
That's correct.
Have you guys been seeing those tweets?
What tweets?
Oh, have you guys been seeing those tweets of people who were like explaining why nuclear war isn't that bad? Like I saw some tweet where a guy was like, nuclear winter is actually overblown and based on geology from the 80s. That same science says that we should be getting blocked out by volcanoes every year. That doesn't happen. There's like a bunch of different people who were like, nuclear war might seem bad, but actually you only need 60 days worth of supplies and then it'll be fine afterwards. Twitter Jesus and the US government will be back up and running.
Did J. Robert Oppenheimer write those tweets?
The fucking, even a minor nuclear exchange between like India and Pakistan would basically demolish the output of world agriculture. Also, I don't know if you guys have seen commodities prices in the past week, but things are going fucking parabolic. Wheat, corn, oil, soy.
Oh, yeah.
Shit is hitting the fan in a major way. And I don't know if you watched the State of the Union. Like, the funniest part of the State of the Union is, like, Biden runs on defunding the police, runs on, undoing, like, Trump immigration stuff, runs on, like, basically, like, an AOC-type platform. Spends his first year in office getting absolutely obliterated in every poll, every opinion thing, and doing a very, very bad job at basically everything he does. The first State of the Union hits, immediate reversal. Everything he campaigned on, everything he said he was going to do, he's like, we're actually going to fund the police now. We're going to do we're going to do what Trump was doing at the border, but twice as hard. We're going to we're going to like kick, you know, it rules to see just the spinelessness of like the Democratic Party in action on full display with absolutely zero shame.
I mean, yeah, man, because every president since Reagan has just been a fucking boy from Brazil clone of Reagan, just depreciating in like quality of reproduction over time until you have Joe Biden, who's such like a bad variant of the Ronald Reagan mixture that he can barely even churn out a sentence about ice cream as he sends, you know, lethal aid to the Donbass or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Reagan was president when he was like when he was younger. By the time he was in his 80s or 70s or whatever, he had severe brain damage, right? Like he was he had dementia. So it's kind of a mistake to like run a Reagan clone for president when he's almost 80.
I mean, really, that's the thing. Like, you know, I get that everybody was like, oh, Bernie Sanders, he's not too bad. And I get it. He seemed like a pretty sharp guy. Like, politics aside, he does seem like he does his Sudoku. You know what I mean? But the thing about it is, like, most people approaching 80 or over it, I don't think should be allowed to drive. And if I don't think you can drive, do I really think you should be in the highest office in the land? Absolutely fucking not.
Yeah, you should have to, like, if you want to run for president, you should have to parallel park without curbing any of your wheels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I made a commitment to not really give a shit about bourgeois elections anymore, but I'll dip my toe back into bourgeois politics and just say this. If you're old, get the fuck out of politics. Fuck you. If you're over 60, retire now. If you're over 40, start planning to retire. Hand this shit over to a bunch of TikTokers because it can't possibly be worse than what we have now.
Not a chance.
It'd be a lot funnier. Well,
yeah. Well, I mean, the funniest thing about, like, the Ukraine thing is it's like the at best least biased coverage is actually coming from the TikTokers.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is the most disturbing.
I haven't really seen any TikTok coverage.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff I've been watching has been fairly, like, decidedly pro-Russian, and it's not like I'm pro-Russia. I'm not some,
what
like,
have you been watching
of-
that's pro-Russian? Everything, like, every major media outlet, every, like, you go on Reddit, and I swear to God, like, NATO has to be pouring, like, billions of dollars into astroturfing every social media website against the Russians right now. It's crazy. It's like,
oh yeah,
you know, it's like
it's prepping for the invasion of Iraq all over again.
Like, you can be critical of Russia's actions in Ukraine while still saying, like, hey, there's not a clear bad guy and good guy because NATO has been like, basically at Russia's neck for 30 fucking years. It's like, but everybody seems, it's like all the same people who, like, I don't know, I feel like have gotten foreign policy wrong for many years now, were all the first to be like changing their Facebook profile picture to, like, I stand with Ukraine. You know, this kind of shit I'm talking about?
Yeah. I mean, here's
100%. Yeah.
Every worst person you know fucking loves Ukraine. Every huge celebrity is like really into it. And when there's like a totally pervasive, sudden interest in a country in the United States, you know it's always wrong. That shit never happens for a good reason.
Oh, and just saying, like,
point out one time. There's not one time in history that the United States has become suddenly interested in a country for anything good. Never. I mean, I get it. Russia's bad. Ukraine is also probably much worse, honestly. But it doesn't matter because the United States should not fucking be involved. And here's the problem.
Absolutely.
We already are. since
we have been for decades. Yeah,
since 30 years ago, but especially since 2014, we've been extraordinarily involved. And I'm jumping ahead in the notes here, but, like,
go right ahead.
The Russian government, in a propaganda move, just released incredibly graphic, and I'm talking like unreal, and you would be utterly shocked. Even if you watched fucking, oh, I watched gore videos on 4chan when I was 15. Shut up.
I still do.
You will be shocked. Yeah, I bet.
Not on 4chan, though. They just put that shit on Reddit now.
Yeah, they just put it right on Reddit. The Russian government shared it on Twitter, and then they had to link to some Russian file sharing site, which I had to fucking Google Translate to make sure I wasn't downloading, you know, a virus or whatever. But it checked out. It was legit. And I downloaded the video, and the first few minutes of it were, like, pretty tame. They were like, these are the atrocities and war crimes committed by the Ukrainians, the Ukrainian military and paramilitary forces, or I forget exactly how they phrased it, in 2014 and 2015. And then they warn you after they tell you that. They're like, okay, it's going to get incredibly graphic. And it is. And it's like, when you see the utter destruction that was wrought by straight up fascists in and out of government by Ukraine in the Donbass region, you really start to understand why these people are, like, declaring their own separate state and asking to join Russia and all manner of other things. Like, you would too, for real.
That's like if, I don't know, like, New Yorkers started, like, dissecting people from New Jersey while they were still alive, and New Jersey was like, we don't really like being dissected while we're still alive. Can we join Delaware? Is that cool? You know?
No, it's like New Jersey asks Pennsylvania to bring the National Guard.
Yeah.
Right. So Pennsylvania is Russia. New Jersey is Ukraine. No, New Jersey is the Donbass. New York is Ukraine. Okay, this is all making perfect sense.
I think, look, I have a pair of great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents that came from Odessa, Ukraine, over on the boat. So okay. I think that I am uniquely qualified to speak on matters involving a country that my connection to dates back over 140 years.
A deep genetic connection, yeah.
Yeah, Reed is extremely tenuous. Yeah.
No. But did you guys see that, like, there's, like, stores that are, like, dumping out Russian vodka and, like...
Yeah, that's very, very funny.
Like, people with Russian... Like, famous people with Russian ancestry are, like, getting fired if they don't officially... come out and denounce Russia. It's like and then
yeah, it's called freedom roulette now.
One of the most disturbing things, though, is the way that, like,
denounce Israel, you're fired. Don't denounce Russia, you're also fired.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, well, that's the thing, because I don't think it's what I'm about to talk about is like Russians just getting completely cut off from the financial system. Like, okay, financial sanctions on a country have been a thing as long as international diplomacy has been a thing, but to cut off ordinary, like, working class citizens, lumpens, access to their banking, access to, like, PayPal or Venmo or WhatsApp or whatever, access to communication, like, access to binge watch the latest season of The Book of Boba Fett. Like, it's horrifying. It's horrifying to think that, like, yeah, they're doing that. Obviously, it's a tool of, it's the same reason that they do sanction, like, brutal sanctions that affect working class people of a country the most in places like Venezuela. It is because they, like, the United States and their allies want to make it so bad for the everyday citizens of that country that. The hope is that the state that they're trying to sanction will no longer have popular support, right? Like, that's right. Well, that's the entire goal.
It's crazy because the U.S. is like, okay, we're going to fund the Ukraine doing war crimes and atrocities. Yeah. We're going to do this for a long time. Like, we really have their back. And in fact, when they're reluctant to do it, we're going to tell them, no, you have to do this, which has happened multiple times. And then when Russia invades and... which is a shitty move, you know, in pretty much everybody's estimation, not really a great plan, and pretty awful. I mean, the Russians are, I'm sure, committing their own, you know, atrocities and wartime, discrepancies or whatever the fuck you want to call it. But then in response to that, the U.S. is like, all right, time to warm up the sanction machine, which is not exactly a war crime, but... it's a war crime. Let's be real.
It should, like, be. Yeah.
Yeah. Sanctioning a country and being like, oh, your leadership, we don't like them. Okay. Time for the common people to all suffer. And I guess under the pretext that, like, in our country, we believe that the common people have some kind of sway over what the very powerful do.
Yeah.
And then we extend that to the rest of the world, even though it's not true anywhere except in socialist countries. So what the fuck?
Yeah, it's definitely not true here.
Yeah.
Like, Russia has historically been, not as much as China, but Russia has been historically, the Russian state has been somewhat adversarial with their oligarchs. Like, if you are a Russian oligarch, you're a billionaire in Russia, and you act against the state, there will be fucking consequences for you. And similarly to in China, where, like, if you screw over enough people or you steal from the state or the people, eventually you will just fucking disappear. I don't know if they're, like, disappearing oligarchs in Russia, but historically that is... somewhat been the case. Obviously, there's no, like, I don't want to make blanket statements here, but West is now sanctioning, like, Russian oligarchs. Like, Russian billionaires are having, like, their yachts and bank accounts and companies seized because it's,
we can all, which is so cool, but something we only do to state enemies, but which is so fucked up.
Well, that's the thing, because the calculus there is they're looking at it through an American viewpoint, where it's like, I will fucking I will, if Mike Liddell of MyPillow raises his banners, I will gladly take a cannonball clean through the chest for him. Right. Whereas in a place like Russia or China, that kind of loyalty, fealty doesn't exist. If the Russian state is like, this guy is too rich and fucking over too many people, or the Chinese state is like, this guy has stolen millions in a real estate scam, we're just gonna fucking kill him. The people like that over there, right? There's not like,
I mean, I would like that.
There's not like this.
Yeah, I would love that here.
You don't have the equivalent of Elon Musk fanboys who are like, please give me a $60,000 car that doesn't work. You don't have that. I mean, in places like Russia and China.
I'm sure you have it in places, especially like Russia, but probably not as much in China, because socialist governments go out of their way to use education to teach people to not be like that, which is awesome. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's brainwashing. And I'm like, is it brainwashing when I tell you to have some fucking manners? You know, like, come on. And like, okay, I get it. Like, Russia definitely does, if their oligarchs or billionaires or whatever you want to call them, go against state interests, they will definitely fuck with them and, you know, take their position, take their whatever away. But in China, I have to admit, I think it seems a lot more well-intentioned, just based on the number of people they've pulled out of poverty with that money, which is not really translatable to Russia, especially because Russia is not professedly a socialist country at all.
The point that I'm trying to make is that sanctioning oligarchs has a very different effect when you do it to the oligarchs of a country like Russia or China than when you do it when theoretically, if you were to do that to an American oligarch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wonder about that, because I think, especially with like an example like China, they would see you, let's say the U.S. government was like, okay, we're taking away this Chinese billionaire's yacht. The Chinese government would be like, okay, like, yeah, you fucked over a billionaire, that's good, but you're the United States. And if anyone was going to fuck over that billionaire, it should have been us.
No, I'm talking about the people of those countries. Like, the Russian people are like, oh yeah, they took away his shit, that's good, like, fuck him. The like Chinese people are like, they took away his shit, fuck him. But in America, it was like, oh, they took away Elon Musk's super mega Mars Uber yacht.
Oh yeah, his hard earned.
and now I must commit a Timothy McVeigh style event in the name of Tesla. You know, like that. Americans, we are built fucking different.
Built very stupid.
Well, speaking of American inclinations towards wealth and the deserving of that wealth, I found a really funny thing that the Ukrainian National Agency for the Protection Against Corruption announced, which is that if you capture a Russian tank, you don't have to pay taxes on it.
I do like that.
You don't have to declare it. They're just like, please, I know you're reluctant to fight. What if you just get to keep the tank?
I love that. I absolutely love that.
I mean, I want a tank. Hang on. So you're saying all I have to do is travel to Ukraine, join some kind of citizen militia, somehow win a battle against a tank, and then I'll have my own tank and I can take it wherever I want?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can follow one of those trendy little guides that's going around Twitter where they're like, are you trying to fight a tank? Throw a blanket over the viewfinder. I don't know if that will work.
I don't necessarily know.
I feel weird about those memes, those guides. Yeah, because it's like, I guess it's like, if there's a tank outside my house and it's going to kill my family, it's better to know how to fight a tank than not. But like, the idea that like everyone in Ukraine should just be like going on Twitter and being like, oh, cool, I can handle a tank, and then getting absolutely destroyed is like, I feel like maybe the military should be fighting the tank, not just random people on the street.
I could handle a tank, but that's purely because I am built different, unlike a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, just a guy who's like really excited to fight his first tank. He's like, I've been studying up on these memes, man. I got my blanket. I got my black spray paint. I got my fucking paper clips.
Like, I have my Blu-ray DVD copy of the director's cut of Fury.
That Brad Pitt
honestly,
flick?
Yeah, that movie's really good.
That looks like a fun movie. Yeah,
they just gun down wave after wave of Nazis. It's so
it never gets old
good.
watching movie Nazis die. It's always fun.
I mean, I've never seen that, but honestly, the way you just described
it's historically
it,
accurate. apparently it was like a real story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Brad Pitt actually fought in World War II. Mm-hmm.
He's really old.
But it has the energy from the way you're describing it of like a mid-2000s video game where they're like, okay, you can play the story, absolutely, but we know the game mode you really want is just wave after wave until you die.
Mm-hmm. Unlimited Nazis.
It does have like a very camaraderie Battlefield Bad Company vibe to it.
That's funny.
Which I dig, you know?
Battlefield Bad Company. I forgot about that.
What's better than hanging with the boys? Hanging with the boys killing Nazis.
Battlefield Bad Company was the Gex of first person military shooters. I will not explain.
Yes.
I know exactly what you mean, and I agree completely.
Tom Clancy's Gex.
Have you guys gotten into Elden Ring yet?
No.
Oh, I've been playing a ton of Elden Ring. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's a blast.
I knew out of the three, so it's like one in three guys is just playing Elden Ring right now. That's just and case in point.
I prefer Ye Olden Ring, which is just an oak ring I whittled myself.
Nice.
Yeah, how about instead of playing video games, you go outside and play God's video game, aka whittling. It's multiplayer if you want.
I like that. It's crafting.
The connection is always on while you're doing it.
Yeah.
I remember
when
I was little, I saw my dad whittling and I was like, what are you making? And he was like, a toothpick. And I didn't know people made those. And now I'm older and I'm like, he was just farting around. He was just sitting there doing nothing, scraping a knife on some wood.
Yeah, that's what's fun about whittling. You just kind of scrape it over a stick and you're like, maybe it's a walking stick. Maybe I'm just kind of like taking the bark off, seeing what's underneath. Like, no one really knows, but it's just, you know, I'm investigating.
Just whittling real slowly and you're like, Jesus, take the wheel.
My dad would whittle like, he would like make like a, out of wood, like with a knife and wood, like a really tiny car or like a really tiny, like, make like a miniature building or something. And he was always like, yeah, this is going to go in my model railroad setup. Like, Dad, you don't have a model railroad setup. He's like, someday I might.
I will if I whittle this thing for it. That'll really get the ball rolling.
But look, model railroading never took hold in America because Americans simply see themselves as temporarily embarrassed model railroaders.
That's right. I mean, if I was going to start a whittling project, I think I would probably find the hardest wood I can and then take a metal knife and whittle a knife out of it. And then I would take a slightly less hard wood and continue the process over and over of whittling knives and then using that knife to whittle a less hard wood, a softer wood, until I get all the way to fucking balsa or whatever the lightest wood is. And then I'll just have a bunch of really nice, very dull wooden knives.
Okay. All right.
This has like 10 million subscribers on YouTube written all over it. Just like a video with a picture of a wooden knife and it's like making a knife out of a knife part one. And then you have like two wooden knives making a knife out of a knife part two. This could go places.
Yeah, Journey to Balsa, video 9 of question mark.
Wasn't it debunked that you could make a knife out of frozen poop? Didn't somebody go through the effort of debunking that? I remember seeing a meme.
I didn't know it was proposed.
I remember seeing a meme recently where somebody was like, frozen poop knife debunked. Or something like that.
There's definitely some channel that makes like knives out of really weird stuff. The weirdest one I remember is they're like making a knife out of smoke, which I don't really know what that physically means. I think they like captured the smoke and condensed it, or they like would freeze stuff. I don't really know. But yeah, I think at some point they might have tried to make one out
of just carbon.
Yeah, just like hard carbon, I guess.
I think I've seen the one you're talking about, Chris. And the weirdest one I remember is they made a knife out of that. What's that like mineral that's like iridescent? It looks like an oil slick. And
obsidian.
It forms geometric shapes? No, what the fuck is it called?
Are we looking this up now?
Yeah.
We don't want because we don't want to be factually inaccurate for the beep beep listeners. That would be
no. I fucking love science. Let me tell you,
I fucking love science.
Is it just bismuth? It's fucking bismuth.
Bismuth. Bismuth is cool as fuck.
Oh, bismuth. Oh yeah.
I trust the science, but specifically, I trust the science that you can get out of like a middle school science experiments book.
Yeah, if you're not a wacky older gentleman with curly white hair who shows up with multiple props to teach me about science, I don't want to fucking hear it.
That's right.
Quantum physicists, take notes. Mathematicians, take notes. You need a bow tie. You need a fire extinguisher. You need a little a nose you can honk. You know, get with the program.
You know who trusted the science? Dr. Emmett Brown. And he was once, and at the end of the Back to the Future movies, the newspaper that was like Emmett Brown committed turned it morphed into Emmett Brown commended. And everything was right with the world because he trusted the science.
It was very convenient that he was commended in the alternate universe on the same day he was committed in the other alternate universe. Yeah. You know, if it happened like a week later, that like imagine if the headline was just like two planes hit the World Trade Center or something. But nope, same day that they commend instead of commit.
That's the weird thing about the Back to the Future, that the third one where the second one where they go to the year 2015, because supposedly it's 2015. But there's no evidence in that Back to the Future movie that 9/11 has happened. So I have to imagine that the usage of the flux capacitor altered the universe in some way where 9/11 never happened. And honestly, I mean, the only thing that could have really stopped Mohammed Atta and the rest of the 9/11 hijackers was The Power of Love by Huey Lewis in the News.
The butterfly effect. Yeah. No, that's what's crazy to me about like multiverse and time travel stories is like they change the future or they change the past or something, and then like things are different, shockingly different, but they like rhyme with how history normally went. And I'm like, isn't that patently unlikely though? Like if you go back 40 years, not to even speak of going back further, 40 years, and you change one major event in world history, what's to stop that from like, you know, making 9/11 not happen and making like, you know, 12/13/2006 some kind of like other major landmark issue in history.
Well, let's see. I'm
not saying The Butterfly Effect starring Ashton Kutcher is a documentary, but I am saying it's a documentary.
Yeah. All
right. What happened on December 13th, 2006? The Chinese river dolphin was announced to be extinct.
Sucks.
So
that's basically like 5/9/11.
Yeah, the river dolphin doesn't go extinct.
The Chinese zodiac sign was dog.
Okay.
It was not during a leap year. This is a really this website. Nothing happened on. Holy shit, John! That random date you picked out of the ether as an example ended up being a day on which nothing important happened. So I'm inclined to believe that in an alternate timeline, something must have happened on that day.
Yeah. This timeline's picking up the slack. They're like, something of extreme consequence happened? Not in this timeline. Yeah. Nothing of any consequence will happen.
That's right. That's fucking right.
One guy painted his wall as a different shade of white. He was like, I don't really like off-white anymore. I want eggshell this time.
I mean, it's crazy that all you have to go back to is like 2006 to find days where not a lot, like a slow news day. When was the last slow news day? Since way before COVID, right? Like since like 3 years before COVID was the last time we had a slow news.
Well, I mean, that just
definitely before Donald Trump was running for president.
Yeah, that's just an example of how the news has basically just been weaponized to like fry your brain over and over and over again.
For sure.
Yeah, that's why I only watch independent journalists who are in who have been in the Donbass since 2014 and are completely funded by Patreon subscriptions.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Shout outs to Patrick Lancaster.
Did you guys see that thing I posted about that guy on Reddit who was just like, yeah, I showed up to volunteer in Ukraine. Any other volunteers here from Reddit? Sound off in the comments.
No, that's insane. He flew to Ukraine like by himself.
Yeah, there's a subreddit for people volunteering to fight in Ukraine, just flying to Ukraine to fight.
God damn, I mean, that's
these people
Russell
think they're
Bentley
like joining the Avengers. Like they're gonna go there, and Tony Stark is gonna be like, "Hey, kid, great to see you. Have a whiskey and let's fucking eat some bacon and kill Russians."
War tourism.
I mean, that's what Russell Bentley was talking about when he got interviewed by the Gray Zone, like way before any of this went down. Was that like during all of this unrest in the Donbass and Donetsk and all these places prior to this Russian military mobilization? He was like, there's a bunch of Americans here and they're all fighting for Ukraine. They're all helping commit atrocities and playing their little adventure games. And he's like, Russell Bentley is not perfect. Far from it. I wouldn't even enjoy hanging out with him in real life, probably. But he's like the only American in the region who's like, I'm fighting for the Donetsk People's Republic.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
I mean, did you see the tweet that where like some press guy, I don't remember his fucking name, was like, I was just rolling with a Ukrainian convoy, and they suspected that this ambulance was actually Russian agents, so they shot the people who were driving the ambulance.
Jesus Christ.
And then everybody's like, wait a minute, did you just admit to witnessing a war crime and then spin it in support of Ukraine somehow? And people did more research, they were like, yeah, we're 99% sure that's what just happened.
You know, of all the things that we've talked about on this show, namely things that we would do in Minecraft, many of them to politicians, important figures in finance, of all the things we talked about on this show, the thing that I honestly think is most likely to get us a visit from like spooks from the State Department is presenting at least attempting to present an unbiased opinion on the Ukraine-Russia situation right now.
Well, look at the media mobilization. Has it been this coherent at any point in your life? Have like Fox and MSNBC agreed so much ever before? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not really since like the Iraq War, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
That's what they're very good at.
Yeah, the cycle of culture, you know? They're just like bell-bottom jeans or Bop It or any other fad, they're going to bring back bipartisan unilateral support for military involvement and NATO intervention. And it's just like you said, Todd. It's really a cover so that Biden can backtrack and, in fact, completely reverse every pledge he made during the election and turn himself into George W. Bush too,
absolutely,
which is fucked up because he's already junior.
Yeah. He's trying to be George H.W. Bush as well. He's trying to mm-hmm. do a double threat of both Bushes. It is funny because you know, before something like this happens, you look at the political sphere and people are like, man, we're close to a civil war in this country. You know, no one can agree on anything. Everyone's so entrenched in their opinions. And then you have something like this where like suddenly millions of people who aren't very politically engaged are suddenly like, hey, I found out that Ukraine is a great country full of great people defending themselves against fucking Voldemort or Darth Vader. And now everyone is on board. People who don't care about any other wars or any other atrocities happening around the globe, of which there's always several happening, usually funded by the U.S. If the State Department wants you to suddenly be on board and be on their side for one, it'll happen. And you don't even have to watch the news. You could just be like reading Instagram. You could be on Reddit. You could be on Facebook. The correct opinion is going to arrive in your brain.
You could just be talking to people at work.
Yeah. Don't consume the brain fluoride. Like, I'm not going to claim that I know what's going on. There's like fog of war has always been a thing throughout history, but especially it's been amplified by social media, been amplified by literal fake news, propaganda coming out mm-hmm. of every outlet, probably on every side, everybody with an angle, everybody with a fucking Substack, Patreon, cable news, everybody with ads, everybody with something to fucking sell you. So I'm not going to claim to know what's going on, but some of the shit coming out of Ukraine is really fucking fishy. Like, I'm sure you guys have seen that video where somebody in like, I don't know, a Hyundai Elantra throws a Molotov at a Russian armored personnel carrier. You saw that, right? Out the window of their car. And then they speed off. You saw that video.
I didn't see that one.
Watch that video again and tell me, is that armored personnel carrier driving under its own power, or is it being towed by a Ukrainian tractor? So then why would they be throwing a Molotov at a APC that's being towed by a Ukrainian tractor? It doesn't make any fucking sense.
I'm not familiar with that one, but the level of disinformation coming out of this conflict has been staggering, like the whole Snake Island thing. Right.
Yeah.
Remember that
where
they were
fake.
Like, oh,
the ghost of Kiev.
Yeah, and then the soldiers
were all
fake.
Executed for saying "fuck you." Ghost of Kiev. The videos are like from a video game, right? Like it's like a dog fighting video game.
It's literally from a flight simulator from over 10 years ago.
Yeah, on that episode that you guys did, the two of you, when I wasn't on, I think it was you, John. You were like, "Yeah, I don't know if this doesn't sound real," and then it was completely fake. It's you can't trust anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the video I'm talking about. I'm holding it up. You guys can see, just look at in front of the tank when they pass the tank. It's being towed by a tractor. Why would they throw a Molotov at it? It doesn't make any sense.
Because it makes a good video, I guess. Like they're trying to make a viral video.
I feel like every crazy like right wing conspiracy brain that we have in this country, like crisis actors, all of this stuff is staged. They're just they're just giving you the highlights that make them look the best or the worst or whatever. We only think that about other countries because that has been our playbook in other countries for so long. Like we've gone to multiple wars over allegations that a country sank one of our boats and then it turned out either we sank it or it just sank.
It just did that. Yeah. Yeah. No, no, no. It's like, yeah, it just nothing, did that. You shouldn't,
boat sink
you shouldn't
sometimes.
Feel shamed. Like if anything, just don't post about it. It's like you don't have to have a strong opinion about a conflict that is still developing, has many different multifaceted aspects to it, including a 30 fucking year history of post-Soviet tensions. Like you don't have to buy into any given narrative until you actually figure out what the fuck is going on. You don't have to be pro Ukraine or pro Russia. You can just be pro, hey, shit's fucked up. I hope ordinary people don't get hurt, but I'm skeptical of whatever the fuck is coming out of there right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the best thing you can do as an American. Like, you don't have to become a fucking expert on the Donbass. You don't have to learn every little thing about the Donetsk People's Republic and Russia and Ukraine and all this shit. You can literally just do at-home media criticism where you're like, the quote-unquote left, the Democrats, and the right, the Republicans, are like completely aligned on this. All of the random people, like you said, Chris, who are not normally politically engaged are suddenly like, this one's a gimme, right? Go Ukraine. Yeah. And anytime you see that, you should start exercising, you know, quite a bit of critical consideration whenever you look at what seems to be the prevailing narrative, especially in 2022 when the fucking Intercept is publishing articles like, don't be a tankie, how the left should respond to Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
Oh my
Meanwhile,
God.
It's been 3 years since anybody has used the word tankie with any level of seriousness in their voice.
Man, that's a bizarre one. It's like one of those things where you read an article and you're like, I don't know how many, like there's probably people who were just like, you know, mid 40s, like foreign policy people who were like, I want to stay informed on stuff and like not be, you know, I watch Democracy Now and they're reading this and they don't use Twitter and they're like, what the fuck is a tankie? It's like, if you're just having hashing out a Twitter argument with your article, then everyone who's not an extremely brain poisoned Twitter user is going to be like, what is this article talking about? Like, I don't understand what this has to do with anything.
It's insane to me. It's extremely like Glenn Greenwald brain kind of.
Yeah. Just sort of like finding a way to like position yourself as like critical of everyone to like be the most principled leftist.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's a lot of post hoc rationalization, right? Which is like people are just feeling pressured by the people around them because most normal people are like, they've completely swallowed the pro-Ukraine pill. I was trying not to talk about Ukraine so fucking much on this episode since we devoted the entire bonus to it. But let's talk about another crime against the world. It looks like Fox has acquired the rights to Gumby and plans to reimagine the character in a portfolio of development ideas that will include NFTs.
Are they making Gumby NFTs? Oh my God. They're making everything into a fucking NFT.
I mean, it fucking sucks because it's one of those things where it's like, it's literally just a hype train and it's gotten so fucking big that they're like, you know, okay, we've roped enough suckers into this that now we have enough money to rope really big suckers into this, like Fox. And here's my question. And this is a horrible question to ask. I really hate to fucking ask it. But when players as large as Fox Entertainment and as institutionally, you know, protected as Fox Entertainment get involved in something as shaky as NFTs, does it mean that we're going to be faced with the future of enormous institutions being shattered to their core by something as fraudulent as NFTs? Or do we run the risk of the possibly equally dismal future of institutions as large as Fox Entertainment legitimizing NFTs and turning them into a normal part of the financial landscape? Which would be worse?
Oof. Yeah, that is, I mean, it would be, I think it'd be, it seems like it'd be great to watch like a giant company crumble because they invested too much of their money in NFTs and then the value tanked. But it is also possible that at a certain point you just end up with like bailouts going to companies who are partially insolvent because of investing in NFTs, and then the whole crypto market crashes at some point. And then, you know, they need a loan from the government.
The later Joe Biden administration just like issuing executive order after executive order to demand legislative action on bailing out the economy that was bankrupted by NFTs. And it's just like, we get a new Panama Papers and it's just a shocking cross-section of the world. It's like, wow, entertainment companies, major Hollywood studios, you know, law firms, banking institutions, hedge fund managers, they all got hit by this and they're all getting their money back. You get a reimbursement. You get a reimbursement. Oh, working people, I'm sorry. We still got to fight you tooth and nail for every scrap, but all these rich ass motherfuckers who were idiots get their money back.
I mean, on the bright side, that means we'll probably get a Big Short 2 in like 2040. That's about the Kamala Harris administration bailing out the NFT industry. So that'll be kind of fun to watch for an afternoon. You know, might be kind of a good movie.
It'll make for really good art. Is always what you say about something that has completely failed.
Yeah. Remember when people were saying that about Donald Trump? They were like, I feel like Donald Trump being president is going to be great for art. It's going to be great for music because all the punk bands will have something to talk about again about fuck the president or whatever.
I mean, I was totally guilty of that. I mean, I wasn't as developed politically as I am now then, for sure. And I look back on myself thinking that thing like, oh, you know, Trump's a horrible, he's an overtly horrible piece of shit, because I didn't understand what a horrible piece of shit so many American, you know, figures of authority were covertly. So I didn't really get it. But I'm like, oh, he's such an overt piece of shit. He's going to inspire such great art. And now I wonder, like, what great art was he supposed to inspire? Like a bunch of really emboldened Banksys running around? That's like best case scenario. And that's still a fucking dystopia.
Yeah, not so good. I mean, it's also like the art you could make in response to Donald Trump has kind of already been made. You know, like American Psycho, that is just a movie that's about Donald Trump, basically about a country where someone like Donald Trump becomes president.
That's true.
You know, fucking Starship Troopers, RoboCop, like the satire we were making about America in the 80s is already all you really need in terms of making fun of a boorish fascist dumbass businessman. Yeah. There's nothing really new to say about it.
I mean, that's I think you're totally right, because he was like, he wasn't innovating, which was what was crazy about what Trump is and was. Is that he wasn't innovating. He was like playing the hits. Yeah. When nobody else dared to play the hits. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like Donald Trump was going, you know, you had people like Hillary Clinton who was trying to get boomers excited about like the Strokes. And they were like, what's this? Why are their pants so tight? I don't like it. And Donald Trump had the balls to go out there and just play, you know, the Rolling Stones for them. And it's not new, you know, it's, you know, Mick Jagger's old. He can barely, you know, they're not really keeping it together that well, but they can play the hits. And everyone out there, you know, at political rallies is like, fuck yes, finally. The Rolling Stones again, not the stupid indie music. I don't want to hear fucking Tame Impala because I'm 70. I want to hear the Rolling Stones.
And the early Rolling Stones, when they said words that would become unacceptable in the 80s and then extremely unacceptable now. Like, that's the that's the thing about it. He really is just an oldies DJ who's like, I'll include all the controversial shit that you remembered and loved when you were more openly horrible. You know, here's Guns N' Roses, for instance. One of the worst bands of all time.
Guns N' Roses fucking sucks. What a bad band.
The absolute worst. The whole Chinese democracy debacle is, to me, possibly the biggest clown moment in all of music, especially because they picked the stupidest possible name for that record, as if China has any less or more perverse democracy than the United fucking States. Are you kidding me?
Well, it's also debacle? Just
racist.
You just mean like calling an album Chinese democracy?
Yeah, which, you know, I don't know this for sure, but looking at the guys in Guns N' Roses, I'm 100% sure that that just means like fake democracy. Like, oh, you thought you got democracy, but you don't, which is like the
something
whole
that
album
doesn't exist.
Yeah. Which is just one, racist, and two, anti-communist, which are two of my most hated things in life.
Yeah, so, they're all over the place, unfortunately, in this country and everywhere.
And they're also not a good band. Everybody talks up Slash so much. And I get like, look, Chrono Trigger is my favorite game. There's a sub boss in Chrono Trigger who is named Slash, after mm-hmm. Slash, the guy from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, that's what he's named after? That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's this trio of sub-bosses, Ozzy, Slash, and Flea.
Oh, nice.
Which is a weird one to throw in there, Red Hot Chili Peppers, uh-huh. when you started off with Ozzy and Slash, which is definitely like boomer mechanic music, and not yeah. Red Hot Chili Peppers is not that. That's like surfer that's a weird music.
Yeah, tossing in the bassist too. That's very funny, because I wonder if that's just like Japanese people looking at America and they're like, cool American rockers like these bands. Like they don't understand the vast like geographic distances of like, you got people in California who like Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then people like in the Midwest or whatever listening to Slash, and they're like, oh, it's just the same mm-hmm. kind of guy likes this kind of rock music.
I mean, to be fair though, I kind of like it when they do that to our culture, because I'm sure we do it so much worse to them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at least they're thinking of like the same country, you know. It's like yeah. in the West we're just like people will that's mix so up true. Like China, Malaysia, and Japan, and just like think they're all the same country, if they even yeah. know what Malaysia is, which probably they don't.
I mean, that was the crazy thing about like when the Iraq and Afghanistan wars were happening at first, was that like people were just realizing the Middle East was even a region of the world. Mm-hmm. They were like, man, I just learned that Africa is not one big place. And now you're asking me to learn all these countries just near it and also kind yeah. of connected to Asia and Europe. Man, if you think I'm going to learn the difference between Armenia and Azerbaijan, you're a fucking moron.
Yeah, they're like, look, I can barely wrap my head around the idea. What? So it's like not Africa, but it's not Asia, but it like some of the countries are close to Africa and some are close to Asia. So it's like, mm-hmm. What color are they? Are they brown? Are they tan? Are they black? Right. I can barely even comprehend what's happening here, let alone tell like a country apart or the religion or whatever.
Yeah, that's so true too, because Americans will look at another country, and even if their like, you know, ethnic relations don't work this way at all, will be like, how do they fit into the American race model from 100 years ago? I demand you make them conform to 1900s eugenics.
Yeah, it's definitely very funny about a country, like, because doesn't China have something like 13 distinct ethnic groups, or maybe 18 or something, like different categories of people that like to them are ethnicities of people who live in different parts of the country, mm-hmm. different, you know, religious backgrounds or what have you. And it's like, to Americans, we're like, so it's 1 billion people and they all look like the same guy, right? Like they all look like the same Chinese guy that I'm imagining who works at a Chinese restaurant in my neighborhood.
Yeah, it's so racist. And then, well, I think it also comes from the fact that in the United States, we're it's such a fucking, you know, settler white nationalist society that we're like, okay, there's very simple race metrics. You know, you got white, you got black people, you got Hispanics, and then you got other, which is this whole world that we just kind of smear together. But mm-hmm. if you don't split hairs properly enough between my German and my Belgian background, I swear to God, I'll slap you in the fucking face.
Yeah, I like sausages and waffles on different days because of my ancestry. Don't get it fucking mixed up. I don't eat them together. I eat them separately.
Exactly. Well, on that note of reminding you about how fucking shitty American society is, we're all going to return to it. This has been your Beep Beep for the week. Thank you so much for listening to us. Thank you so much for any money you might be giving us on Patreon. If you want to support the show but you can't afford Patreon, you can leave us a 5-star review and you can share the show with your friends. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts at work, and I remembered recently that a lot of them do intros and outros. So thank you for listening, and as always, beep on out there.
Goodbye.
Bye.